the improvement in how they respond to debt, there's been an increase in households cashing in their insurance policies and delaying their retirement. This is according to Altron FinTech Household Financial Resilience Index. Is this due to the challenging economic times South Africa finds itself in? To tell us more, we're joined by economic advisor and compiler of this particular study, Dr. Rolof Busa, Dr. Buta, morning to you. Is Dr. Buta there? Shall we try again? Well, let's see. This is a very, very important point, you know, and whilst, you know, it's not ideal that we cash in our insurance policies, when you are, you know, under pressure, it's maybe sometimes the last resort when, you know, we cash in our insurance policies. And sometimes it gives us temporary relief, you know, and doesn't actually bear fruits going forward. And it's important that you consider it very, very carefully before you get to that point. I think Dr. Buta is now online. Dr. Buta?
Yes, good morning.
Morning to you, sir. Despite there being an improving in household responding to debt, does the data really indicate that households are still struggling financially to stay afloat?
Yes, certainly. On a year-on-year basis, the Altron FinTech Household Resilience Index took a knock of just over 1%, which doesn't sound terrible, but what is really concerning is that it seems that a lot of people are actually cashing in on their long-term insurance policies just to make ends meet. So that is something that's a huge point of concern.
And is there an indication of what the value would be when people do, in fact, cash in their policies? Is it kind of short-term gap filler for many people where they cash in, despite the fact that the average cashing in results only in, let's say, in 15 or 20,000, or is this 500,000? Is there some research that indicates what the value is of those policies?
Unfortunately not. The data that is available is aggregated. The total amount is quite impressive. I mean, we're talking about many billions of rand, but it, for some individuals, be a figure of under 20,000 rand. It could go up as high as in the millions. It depends on, obviously, on that person's individual financial prowess. The point is just that If one surrenders a policy, it means that that person wants cash. From a long-term perspective, this is not a good financial decision. But if that's the only way that you can make ends meet, then sometimes you don't have any other option. Interestingly enough, it is also sometimes a sign of emigration. The highest spike ever in our history in the value of surrenders in a given quarter was just after the Marikana incident, when many people decided to leave for other shores.
But then that would be a high net worth people, not so, I mean, not necessarily those at the kind of economic strata where they're kind of working class people.
Certainly, you're quite right and well spotted, but as I indicated, this is an aggregated figure, so it could be that somebody who started work, let's say 2 years ago, got a mortgage bond, bought this, you know, their first house, and had a policy running for 3 or 4 years, which let's say is worth 50,000 rand or even less. And now, because of the fact that payment every month on the mortgage bond has gone up by 60%. The South African Reserve Bank's Monetary Policy Committee has increased the cost of credit in the last more or less 18 months by 60%. This is what I call crazy economics, and it's unwarranted.
I tend to agree with you. I think that the Monetary Policy Committee really needs to be rehashed to understand the dynamics of, you know, what people are experiencing down on the road. the knock-on effect of policies being surrendered over a period of time within the insurance industry itself, it means that there's less premiums being collected, from policyholders. Does that mean that those who are still on the books, in a sense, would have their premiums being increased to kind of cover the shortfall, in a sense?
So this indicator that is included in the Altron index only relates to surrenders. So if one looks at other indicators, like the total assets of the long-term insurers, then things are not so bad because there are people that have now come into the fold. People that have now got a formal sector job. We created 1.4 million jobs last year. That's in total, including informal sector people. So there are new policies that have been obviously written. But if we only look at the surrenders, that is a point of concern.
Many people are starting to look at, because of the pressure of the kind of economic circumstances we find ourselves in, delaying their retirement. Is this reflective on how bad the cost of living crisis has become?
Yes, on the one hand, you're quite correct, but there are other factors at play here as well. I think many people, especially those people that lost their jobs during COVID, were then either reinstated because the companies and organizations they were working for had recovered from COVID, but in many cases they had not fully recovered yet. So a lot of people now are clinging to their jobs at all costs. So instead of retiring, if a person still, is of good sound and of good mind and body, physically strong, and you've got all this experience, it's really quite silly, as far as I'm concerned, to pick an age, like, for instance, 60, and to decide that, okay, when I'm 60, I'm going to retire. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that's really silly. In some professions, you only really get on top of your game
after
20 or 30 years' experience.
Yep.
So, and a lot of people are deciding to, if you decide to postpone your retirement age, it means that you are still covering, with a bit of luck, your cost of living, and you are still adding to your pension. It's a very good financial decision to make.
And sharing your experiences that you've gained, as you quite correctly point out, over a period of 30, 40 years, not so.
Exactly. And I'm just very disappointed that government has not... Actually, they've missed this issue where they can, for instance, pursue their transformation ideals and goals by a policy, a very plain and forward policy of mentorship, where they can harness the experience of people that have been in their jobs and that on top of the game after 30, 40 years to act as mentors for young and upcoming graduates, etc. Instead of just having this clinical quota system, essentially, which is racist, no other word for it.
Economic advisor and compiler of a study, Dr. Rulof Botha, thank you so much for your time, sir. Very interesting discussion.
Take care.
You too. Next up, traffic.